Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I want to remind the listeners we have Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com joining us here right after we get through the market report and maybe touch on a quick article or two. He should be joining us around 4:10. So we always look forward to having Greg Hunter join us. Always brings a lot of energy to the program, and that's always welcomed. And let's go right to the market report. Gold, 410 to the downside, 1183, but it actually had a pretty nice recovery. We had a low of 1175, so a nice recovery, still to the downside, but better than 1175. Silver down 7 at 1611. Platinum was down 7 at 1,083, along with palladium down a buck at 736. And, of course, the USDX is stronger slightly, 0.14 at 94.97. Crude oil, 60 bucks at 48 to the upside, 0.48 to the upside. And the paper markets today, the Dow had a 113 point gain for 17,904. The NASDAQ was up 25 at 5,055. The S&P up 11 at 2,096. So, Al, I guess with the news of Greece yesterday and all the markets around the world, and ours was down, you know, almost triple digits yesterday, I guess all those worries are gone today.
Happy days.
Happy days are here. Oppa. Again.
Oppa.
Yeah.
Makes me want to break some crockery.
There you go. 10-year yield today, that was also down a little bit, 0.04, 2.32%. And euro was trading 112. 112 for the euro. And Asian markets, Hong Kong was down a little over 1%. London was barely moved. Germany was up about a half a percent for Germany, and that was the big news today. I guess Trump finally made his announcement today, and in some degree he's scary being a president. because I don't know if he'd be good or bad, Al. He certainly has.
Well, that's unlike most of the candidates, where they're going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean he.
But he might be good. There's the problem with Trump. He adds that uncertainty factor. He might actually be good. So how do you do that, Molly?
Well, you know, he thinks he can go in there and start trading with China and all this kind of stuff and making deals with, you know, he thinks he can go out and start making deals and, you know, and I just don't think it's going to be quite that easy. Not when you have the president in Washington being the puppets that they are. So, well, we'll just have to see how this whole thing turns out, but it'll be interesting.
I think being president has to be one of the most humiliating jobs a man could ask for. By the time you get out of it, I mean, who has retired successfully from the White House in recent history? Clinton? Not really. G.W. Bush? Nope, he doesn't hardly come out in public anymore. Barack Obama, he's going to move to Hawaii and probably disappear. I mean, you know, it is a very, I don't care who you are, what you stand for, it is a debilitating job. It's like you become a punching bag, and everybody in the country, anytime anything goes wrong, they get to wake you up and tell you you're an idiot, you know. And it's after 8 years of that, it's got to be what the heck was I thinking
about?
I got to be nuts.
You go in with all these plans, and you're going to change. Although Obama did change things, but I don't think all that was quite what he had in mind. But, you know, he certainly did change things. And if he rams his TPP through, he will be, you know. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the Fed open market today. This week they're meeting, and again, it's the same old thing. Will she or won't she, as far as the rate increase? They had anticipated it would originally be in June. Now they passed it on. You know, it depends on where you believe how the economy is. If they do any raise at all, it'll be so tiny just to see what the markets will do. But, you know, I'm more in the camp that they'll have quantitative easing. You know, they need more stimulus. They need something.
Quantitative easing?
They need something, because I don't think this. They need more stimulus here. I don't think it's really going to the way they think it is.
But it hasn't for the whole time.
No, I know.
They've been trying to stimulate the economy for 6 years now, anyway, and it has failed to substantial degree. It's just kind of bounced along the bottom. They haven't, I mean, all the king's horses and all the king's men have not been able to put Humpty Dumpty together again. They've kept him from completely cracking up, but some serious problems here.
Well, not only here, but around the world. So you got all these other countries that are, you know, putting trillions of stimulus into their markets, and it's not working either. But hey, we've got Greg Hunter. He has joined us now. Greg is the producer and creator of USAWatchdog.com, and we always enjoy when he is here. The site's slogan is analyzing the news to give you a clear picture of what's really going on. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon to you. You're kind of having a little digital breakup. I'm hearing you. Are you hearing me cleanly?
You're good.
Yeah, we can hear you all right.
Okay, good. Super. What's up with that Greece? I didn't want to talk about Greece. I really don't want to talk about Greece. But if you go on the headlines the last few days.
Don't you feel compelled to talk about Greece? I mean, everybody.
No. Well, yes. I mean, I just had John Embry on, who will be out tonight. I don't mean to give a selfless plug, but I'm going to tell you about my most recent interview. And he does investments for Sprott Asset Management. He's their lead senior, you know, consultant on investments and what to put their money in. They got almost $7 billion under management. And, I mean, he just, you know, I mean, it's, the news is, you know, the market knows they're insolvent, but the market thinks they can keep stretching it out. That's the only reason why it hasn't fallen apart, because the market thinks, you know, the ECB, the Fed, the IMF, whoever, they'll make sure it'll be okay, and we can just keep playing this game. We're just going to keep playing the game they're playing, which is they're going to, you know, extend and pretend, and I think the extend and pretend is coming to an end.
Yeah,
and so
on top of which, is Greece really the story that everyone makes it out to be? Is this the linchpin that's liable to trigger the whole global economy to collapse, or is it just no big deal?
Well, there's two schools of thought out there, and the school of thought I'm in is that it's a big deal because it would be no big deal if it was just Greece. It's a country, even with $330 billion dollars or euro, you know, it's an unbelievable amount of debt. I mean, just to give you an idea, they have about 11 million people. North Carolina has 10 million people, the state I'm in, and they went crazy when they had $2 or $3 billion of debt. I imagine that, you know, times, you know, 100.
See, that's
and
because
they can't pay it back.
That's because your people, I'm saying that's because the people you're talking about actually expected to have to repay the $2 or $3 billion. See,
oh,
Greece
no, no, yes. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Yeah, the state of North Carolina, with 10 million people, roughly, almost, not quite, 10 million people, has a budget of, I don't know, $22 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a country the size, roughly the same, actually, landmass probably smaller, but population-wise, about the same as North Carolina, the ninth largest populous state in America. And it's just astounding. They're not paying it back. When this thing started, they had 160 or 70 billion euro in debt. Now it's 330 billion euro in debt. It's astounding. And if we just had Greece, then yeah, listen, if France was solvent and Italy was solvent and Spain was solvent and Portugal was solvent and Ireland was solvent and they all had booming economies, they had good economies, no problem. You know, yeah, we can take that hit. But just the reverse is, you know, Ireland is not solvent, Portugal is not solvent, Italy not solvent. I mean, Deutsche Bank by itself in Germany has $75 trillion in derivatives. That is not all bilaterally netted. That is not all hedged. And once Greece goes, and no matter how it goes, if they just default, other countries may say, you know, we're going to do the same thing. Or if they cut them a deal.
There's the problem. Greece by itself is not the problem, but the contagion. I mean, they may do this and nothing much will happen. And the rest, Spain and Portugal, say, wait a second, the world didn't come to an end. Why don't we default too? You know, Greece already had a 53% haircut for all its creditors. That happened several years ago. The world didn't come to an end. What happens if the other 47% gets just defaulted on?
A deal with Greece is still a default. I read this in a headline this morning, and that's all I needed to read. And it was on, I think it was on Zero Hedge. A deal with Greece is still a default. And Tsipras, the prime minister of Greece, ran on the, we're not going to have any stinking, austerity. We're not going to have stinking austerity. Well, I mean, he's going to preside over a collapse, or he presides over a debt slave in perpetuity. And the problem is everybody else. That's the problem. And the problem is no matter what deal or no deal you have, if there's a deal, where Peter Schiff on, he says, I'm actually more afraid of a deal because everybody else will want the same deal. I mean, what is Italy going to say when you say, whoa, you just gave a big haircut and you're giving them your, whoa, we want the same deal.
Yeah, exactly.
What's Ireland going to say? What's Portugal's? What's going to happen to all these banks? And the people are like, oh, well, it's baked into the cake. And you know, well, they've already, just like Lehman Brothers. You don't think Wall Street knew Lehman was going to go down? They were shorting the hell out of it. They were front-running the collapse that got out of hand is the problem. They thought they could just collapse it. It was just Lehman. Well, this is just a country. This is other countries. This is beyond a business. This is countries, and this is banks with twenty times the GDP of the country the bank is residing in. Deutsche Bank. I mean, it's $75 trillion in leverage. Holy smokes! That's one bank in Germany, which is related. Both co-CEOs stepped down, and they raided their offices recently, according to published reports. It's unbelievable. It is frightening. I think that the extended pretend, it can't be extended, and you can't pretend that these guys are insolvent. That's really, they know they're insolvent. But
well, the only way it can be extended
keep it going.
Is if the creditors lend more money to Greece. And they already know we're not going to get the money we already lent to them, and now they want us to lend more to them to sustain the illusion that Greece will somehow someday repay the loans. And it's never going to happen. They are left with either write off everything we've loaned them up until now, or give them more and eventually write that off too. Sooner or later, somebody's got to just pull the plug and say, enough, this is crazy, I'm not going to play this game anymore, I'm out of here.
Well, I had Gordon Long on, and I said, well, you know, do you think we're going to have, is it baked into the cake, we're going to have a collapse? And he said, no, they know that. He says, listen, they're not stupid people, they know that. They know it, and maybe they think they're hedged enough, or maybe they're not, but they know it's going to collapse, and they know it's a contagion risk, because they know
Let's be clear about this. Which entity are you? You say there's going to be a collapse. Are we talking about Deutsche Bank, or are we talking about Greece?
Greece, and then all the banks attached with all the debt and all the derivatives. I mean, you can't separate the interconnected system that is here. And, you know, they would love to ring fence Greece and say, okay, this is going to be a failed state. And hey, everybody else, if you try this, here's what's going to happen to you. But I don't know if they're even, they can't pay. It's not even a question of whether we should try it or pay back all this money. They can't pay. They'll never be able to pay. No, there will be no lasting government if they don't default. I mean, no government can ever be elected and stay in power. Look at Greece. If they try to pay all this back, do you think that Tsipras can stay in power? Hell no! He can't! Nobody could stay in power. That's the geopolitical portion of this. And then add in all the derivative risk. These people all got cute with this risk, and they're trying to create artificial demand with derivatives. That's how they're holding rates down. And the artificial demand is going to turn into real contracts that have real winners and real losers. And there is no way. I mean, look at the way they talk about bilateral netting, or it's hedged, or, you know, it's not going to be a big nominal. Well, we all saw how well that worked with Lehman Brothers. We all saw how well that worked with AIG. That worked wonderful for Wachovia. It worked great for Bear Stearns, all companies that are out of business, with the exception of AIG, with $188 billion later of taxpayer, padding. It's unbelievable. It's just... It's
astonishing they've been able to hold it together as well as they can. And I have to imagine that people in positions of power, Janet Yellen and Barack Obama, who should know what's going on, I've got to imagine they're spending a bunch of time just shaking their head in disbelief. I'll bet they can't believe it's lasted as long as it has.
Well, exactly. And therein lies the problem. The problem is they never fixed it. They just, they just shot everybody up with morphine and said, don't worry about that big gash in your head. Don't worry about that, that sword sticking through your body. It's okay. Here, have some more, heroin. It's okay. Don't worry. It doesn't hurt, does it? Well, no, but if it's still there, the debt's still there. The knife is still stuck in your head. You're living, and if they pull it out, you're probably dead. But, you're still living. It doesn't feel like it's bad. But it is, and it's not fixed. And that's the other thing. If you guys think about this, remember, last few years when, let's start when Barack Obama got into office and, Erskine Bowles, and we're gonna have, a Democrat and Republican. We're gonna cut $4 trillion over the next 10 years, $400 billion a year. That only slowed the growth. That didn't happen. Remember the sequestration, $85 billion in tax cuts, or $85 billion in new taxes. No, we're not gonna do that. While they're doing that little game, they're handing out $500 billion to the banks, and not a single person on either side of the aisle would say a word as to why are we doing this? Who's getting this money? What banks are getting this money? So, and have you heard anything about them talking about any debt reduction now in the last, crimulus bill? That did they get
How
any
can
debt
they
reduction?
Do it? There's only
what
two
are they
ways.
Doing with
there's
the,
really
with
only any, one way. They've got to raise taxes, and I don't see how they can raise them much more than they already have. Where's the revenue going to come from to
confiscation?
Retire
the
debt.
Please don't call
and
revenue.
When you take it out of the economy and use it to pay off the debt, to some degree, that should all by itself slow the economy down. We'll talk more about that in a moment. We're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter. From USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg has a number of fine interviews with a number of interesting people. I mean, he really does a fantastic job of bringing intelligent people into his interviews. You were talking, macroeconomist Gordon Long. And he said that elite bankers want and need negative interest rates. And they are, this is leading them to believe that they need a cashless society. Can you explain what we mean by negative interest rates and why a cashless society is conducive?
We have negative interest rates now. If you have, take a look at real inflation, even if you look at Fed's phony inflation, we basically have negative interest rates.
Yeah.
But they're talking about nominal, real, negative, you know, like minus 1%.
I understand what you're saying, but let's just be clear for the audience, make sure they understand when we say the real interest rates are negative right now, means that the actual inflation rate, let's say it was 3% and the interest rate was 1.5%, you're actually losing a percent and a half on your loans if you're a creditor, and that means you're paying a negative interest rate for loaning your money. True? Is that roughly correct?
Yes, roughly correct. And then also on top of that, that now they want to push rates to negative. Why? Because people could just take their cash out of the bank. Where would you take your cash? The other reason why they want negative, they want the cashless society, because they want to hold everybody's money captive. You can't take your smartphone and take your money out of the bank because it's just digits, and they can take them back because they control the digits. It's about control. When you have cash in hand, when you have gold in hand, when you have land, a title in hand, when you have in-hand assets, they're in hand. They're under your direct control. And the your money will not be under your, and it is not now. You are a nothing more than a creditor to the bank. That's the way they have it set up. So, and the next time they have a calamity, you're going to be captive. Your money is their money, and they're going to pay off their debts with your money because, oops, well, we got into financial trouble, and you're an unsecured creditor. But yep. There's a variety of reasons why that they want to have cashless society, and one of them is to hold the bonds together so they can totally manipulate interest rates. They don't want, they want more control of depositors' money, more control over bank runs, more control over interest rates. They have a big ball of...
I think the fundamental control here, I think the fundamental control they're looking for...
Yeah, a variety of reasons, all of which are not good for the individual.
I agree with that, but I think I suspect that the principal target for a cashless society and financial monetary control of the currency control, I think it's because... Historically, when we had gold and silver coin, if the interest rate was dropped down to, say, 1%, just to pull a number out of the air, they dropped the interest rate out, the people who had money to lend couldn't easily move that money across the ocean to Asia or to Europe to get higher interest rates. If the Fed lowered interest rates, the lenders had to either accept the low interest rates or they had to just park their dollars and do nothing with them. They had that choice. But when we got digital currency, right now when the Federal Reserve, one of its main tools is to adjust interest rates, but if they lower interest rates, which supposedly stimulates the economy, what it actually does, in my opinion, lenders say, I'm not going to lend my money for just 1.5%. I'll move my money to China. I'll move it to South America or Africa or someplace that'll pay me 5%, 7%, 8%. Then, and point being is they lower interest rates, and they don't really stimulate the economy. Money flows out of the money supply, goes to foreign markets where they have higher interest rates, and the net result is they have lost their ability to stimulate the economy by lowering interest rates. I think they want cash control to prevent big lenders from moving their capital overseas. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes sense to me, and there's multifaceted reasons. I think the main reason is that they can hold the interest rates down, so they can hold the bonds together. And here's what
but
I mean by that. And
if they can't hold the money, and if they can't keep the money in the country, it doesn't matter what the interest rate is. There's no money to be borrowed.
Well, yes, but they want to hold the bonds. They want to suppress interest rates even further. That's why the whole cashless deal, because they're using these bonds as an asset. We've been told that debt is money, and debt bonds are an asset, Federal Reserve notes, bonds. That debt is money, debt is an asset. We're going to find out neither is true, because they took these bonds. Now, think about the world we live in. I want you to get a wide shot here and not think about just people moving their money around, because it's not just money, it's bonds. We didn't print money, we printed bonds. Think about that now. We printed bonds. And the problem with the bonds is they're being held as an asset. And then they take those bonds and then they leverage them up 50-1. Now, you don't need a big move in interest rates to wipe out your capital if you got 50-1 leverage. And the Bank of International Settlements, the official number, some people say it's two and a half times this number, but the official number is a quadrillion in derivatives. That's 1,000 trillion. Guess what Christine Lagarde did before she was head of the managing director of the IMF? She was the head of a law firm with 2,700 lawyers who dealt in swaps, derivatives. Then she made this public statement to the Federal Reserve about don't raise interest rates. I mean, she can't pick up the phone and call up Yellen and say, hey, girl, how's it going? I love you in that blue dress. Oh, by the way, don't raise interest rates. You'll crash the quadrillion bond market and derivative market. You see what I'm saying? Why did she make a public statement?
I do. The question is, Christine Lagarde is leading the world to believe that it's her recommendation that the United States not raise interest rates, because if it does, it'll trash the U.S. economy. But what you're saying is, in fact, she has ulterior reasons. She has ulterior reasons. She's saying, wait a second, if you do that, it's going to hurt the European economy.
It's going to trash the bonds. If you have a, you know, you've heard the old saying of that when rates go up, bond prices go down. Well, we've been in nirvana since 1980. So when you got a 10% bond or a 12% bond and it went down to 10%, wow, you made money. I could sell that bond at market, no problem. Rates are going down. You know, par for the bond is $100. Well, hey, you can't get this 12% bond. I tell you what, I'll sell it to you for $120. So not only do you get a good interest rate, but you also have appreciation of the quote unquote asset. And when it's 8% and it goes down to 6%, you know, I mean, over time, I mean, we've been on this long down where there's been some blips and blobs and up and down and up and down, but long chart. If you look at it from 80 all the way down, this is when Volcker came in and said, we're not going to have people buying gold. We're going to take the treasury up to 22% or whatever. And so, we have this long curve all the way down. We're at the bottom of the curve, and the opposite happens when rates go up. So if you got a 2% bond, and there's a lot of crap out there, bought at 2% for 10 years, right? 1.67%, that was the low back in February. When rates go up, and they don't have to go up a lot, so you have your 2% bond or your 1.67% bond, go try to sell that at par. Oops! Well, I can get a 2.3% 10-year bond right now. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 91 cents on the dollar. Well, when you're leveraged 100 to 1, a 9% wipe out of your capital, you're done. I mean, you only need a few percent. Same thing when they go from 2 to 3. Oh, try to sell your 2% bond now. Oops. And in a rising interest rate, rising inflation environment, oh, my God, you want to get out of that, won't you? But a bit better use to your capital? That's the problem. They can't raise rates. It'll destroy the asset that's backstopping all this leverage at a 50 to 1, 80 to 1, 30 to 1. You understand what I'm saying? They're afraid of the bonds. We didn't print money yet. That's when they liquefy all. That's what John Williams says. When they liquefy that stuff, that's when the inflation hits. We printed bonds and rolled those bonds over. We printed bonds. Think about it.
Yep.
That's what she's freaking out about. That's what the world is freaking out about. So we're going to have a carnival of default and inflation. They'll inflate and bail out their buddies, and they'll, Lehman Brothers, the people they don't like, and the banks they want to cull out, and it'll be it's going to go crazy.
And how long will it take from when this begins to become obvious until we see something really catastrophic happen?
I just told a guy at a gas station, one of the few people who I go to this gas station where I don't have to have ethanol gas, about 15 miles away from my house in Stokesdale. His name is Greg, oddly enough. It's weird. And he came out and said, hey, man, I know who you are. I worked in TV here in the market, too, but I don't do that anymore. I do USA Watchdog. And he says, hey, man, I saw your site. And we started talking, having this running conversation about what's going on. He first thing he brought up when he walked out, Greece. This is the guy that runs the gas station.
Yeah.
And I said, let me tell you something. At some point, everybody is going to know what we know now. And that's when all hell breaks loose. You think about that. Now, everybody's in, they're willfully ignorant.
Well, they're willfully
they're
ignorant,
the game
they're,
that
hopeful,
they can,
they're apathetic, hard to say what all's going on. But I agree with you
completely.
That more people are aware than maybe a lot of people would suppose. It's not just ignorance. There's a lot of just wait and see. People know.
Well, one of my guests recently said, I think it was this is a great point, and it was Warren Tollick, and he said, generationally, what's a generation, 70 or 80 years, right? I mean, we don't have any reference point the worst thing I ever saw was in the 70s. It was terrible. It was, but not as bad as the Great Depression. We don't really have any reference point for what's coming. I mean, we could only be so lucky that our dollar would be unassailable, and that our credit rating would never lose at all, and we actually had true deflation, actually lowering of prices. I mean, we could only be that lucky. That ain't going to happen this time. And we're not going to come right back out of it. They're going to try to put the fire hoses on, but they're going to be spraying, soap bubbles and not the kind that's fire retardant. It ain't going to work.
Yeah,
we're
in over our heads. That's what the problem is. It's like riding on the Titanic. The metaphor is used on a regular basis, but it really is. Not everybody's going to get off this ship alive, or at least unscathed.
Oh,
there's a big problem, and not enough lifeboats for everybody.
People trying to trade this market is like it's like hearing the news, wow, we just hit an iceberg on the Titanic. And then you look to your friends and say, hey, let's go down to the casino. Maybe we can win a few bucks.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hey, let's start a card game. Let's play Hold 'em High or whatever. You know, this is how stupid it is. I mean, it's...
There's going to be an episode of
float on.
There's going to be an episode of Natural Selection coming up here that's going to be really dramatic.
I've got a question for Melody.
Have been unprepared, ignorant, and unintelligent are going to find their survival really threatened.
Yeah, you're going to find your survival with a world like that in question.
Well, I understand. Everybody. Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Yeah, everyone will be in jeopardy. Some will be in less jeopardy than others, but, I mean, this won't be a cakewalk for anyone. No one's going to be prepared to where they're just going to skate on through and there's not going to be any liability.
I got a question for Melody.
Around and they have problems.
Yes, Greg.
Are you seeing a pickup in your business? Are you? Or what are you hearing? I mean, you actually do phone business, actually, for discount gold and silver trading, which I think is a smart thing, because anybody who's going to plunk money down is going to talk to a real person on the phone, not click this box, click that box, give me your credit card. They're not going to want that. They don't want somebody who's going to talk to them. And so have you noticed a pickup in your business, and what are you hearing from people who are calling you?
Well, you know what? Gold and silver has been hammered for 2 years. You know, we have sellers, we have buyers. It's been a weird, strange market. The whole industry as a whole, when I talk to my buyers and suppliers across the country, it's a mixed deal. It's like 1 month, we have a great month, and then it kind of slows off. Then we have a great month, then it kind of slows off. So it's been very erratic. And I think the times now are far worse than they ever have been. But you have the stock market at 18,000. You have people on that are living off of those dividends that these companies are paying, and they're leaving their money. We're in the stock market. They're not taking their money out of paper and putting it into gold. As soon as there's some sort of a reaction in the market, if it drops a 300-400 points, we get immediate reaction. But it's taking something to jolt them out of their sleep. And it's bizarre, and it hasn't it's bizarre. And what they don't understand, and we've been harping on this for years and years and years and years, is when it does happen, there won't be enough gold to go around, gold or silver. It will disappear so quick, and it's going to be nasty. You're going to have dealers out there that are just taking people's money, promising them product, and they won't ever be able to deliver. It's going to be a nightmare.
Well, aren't some dealers going to say, hold on a minute, we've shut down sales. We're not going to take your money. Thank you. We're going to wait. Aren't some dealers going to play the market with their inventory? I mean, that has happened before. That's happened with other gold companies. They won't even take your order. Forget about getting an order in and not getting your gold. They won't even take it. We're not selling for the next 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, or next week or whatever. Couldn't that happen? That dealers would play their inventory, play the market with their inventory? I think it would.
Well, they
speculate.
Well, they speculate on their inventory now. You know, so I mean, it's nothing new. And a lot of these guys go out of business at times like that because they don't buy. They don't buy in real time. I buy in real time. A lot of these guys speculate. That's why you have these guys who are selling their product at wholesale. That they wait for silver to drop a few cents or gold a buck or two, then they go in and buy it and supply it. Well, when it's fine when you have this market that we've had in the past 2 years, but you get a quick turnaround in a day in their history because they can't supply the customers. That happens all the time. Anybody who sells at wholesale.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. If somebody sells what? Go ahead.
Anybody who sells at wholesale, that is what they're doing. And there's a couple of them online that I do comparisons. And product will not be available when this thing hits.
Available, but at what price? For example, one of the people Greg interviewed recently, Bill Holter, he said... He's predicting that gold's going to go to, it may go to $60,000 per ounce. Now, we'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a commercial break right now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and Greg Hunter. from USAWatchdog.com. We'll be back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. We're back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg recently interviewed Bill Holter, excuse me, and Holter, among other things. Well, here's part of the Greg's description of the interview. It says recent Bloomberg analysis says if China backed its currency with gold, the price would need to be 50 times higher than it is today. According to Bloomberg, that would be a gold price of around $64,000 per ounce. Now, financial writer Bill Holter weighs in that he's saying that previous predictions of $50,000 an ounce by Jim Sinclair may turn out to be laughably low. So what do you think about that, Greg? How high can gold go? And, you know, in fact, if we live long enough, gold will go to $1 trillion an ounce. We may have to live five centuries for that to happen. But the question is, when are we going to see a significant jump in the price of gold? And $5,000 or even $10,000 an ounce. Do you have any idea?
I don't, but I want your viewers to think of this in a different way, and here's why. I don't want them to think about the dollar price of gold. I have come to the conclusion because we're going to go back to the bonds. The bonds are an asset. That's a huge lie. They're a liability. And they've leveraged the bonds, all these bonds. This is trillions and trillions of dollars of bonds with trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of leverage, especially when you consider derivatives. And if the asset turns sour, and not all of it, you have 50-to-1 leverage or 30-to-1 leverage, you don't need a big move in your bond value for it to implode you. And I want you to think of collateral. The bonds are collateral. What happened in Weimar, Germany, when the mark blew up? Their bonds blew up. What did they do to fix it? They collateralized it with the Rentin mark. And I think when this thing blows and really gets going and the collateral is completely corrupted, we have a carnival of defaults and inflation, and the banks are going to be looking and everybody is going to be looking for collateral. Think of gold, land, artwork, diamonds, silver, you know, productive business with no leverage, collateral. There is going to be a huge problem with collateral. I don't even want to think about the dollar price of gold. You know what kind of a world we're living in? If gold is $60,000 an ounce, lead will be more important.
Mad Max days.
It'll be like Zimbabwe.
Yes. And I think you ought to think about the collateral when this thing turns. Oh man, it's going to turn hard and it's going to turn ugly, and you know, pensions are going to be gone. They're going to be looking for the governments, the banks. They're going to be looking for collateral. They're going to be looking for land. Remember that in this whole housing crisis, banks made a lot of money by forcing foreclosure. You think they're going to stop that trend? People are good. If they have any leverage and they can't make it, they better be nimble, and they better be able to be, have enough leeway in their cash flow that they can pay their taxes, they can pay their notes, they can pay their mortgages. The first person that's going to come get your stuff is the bank, and then they'll like to lease it back to you, or they'll sell it so they can make some money.
Yeah, but where will you get money to pay for?
They'll take it on the dollar, and they'll sell it for 50 cents on the dollar. They're going to recollateralize themselves with something, and that's going to be everything in the world that's not paper.
They're going to have a problem.
The banks did that back in 2008. I was surprised that several friends of the family had businesses, small businesses, and the bank said, hey, you know, we're calling in your loan. Because we're not sure.
Right.
In this.
Ding, ding, ding. You got
yep,
it.
Yep. And you don't hear those stories.
I'm telling you, I got a friend of mine that has a jewelry store and a shopping center, and the jewelry store and the shopping center are tied together. I said, why'd you do that? He said, the bank made me do it. So, in other words, you have a 12-unit shopping center that's by a college campus, and if it goes under, you lose your store? Yeah. He also has property in downtown where I live, and he came to me and said, I'm selling the stuff downtown. I'm going to pay everything off. I'm not going to, because I told him it's going to be a mad dash for collateral. They don't care about your payments. They want your business. They'll lease it back to you.
The one
they
guy
want your
the
productive
bank?
Assets. Do what?
The one gentleman fought the bank, and he actually won, but it cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the other guy lost his home and everything because they were calling in the loan, and he didn't have
the
funds
to
do
what they
wanted to.
That's right, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a nad.
Yep.
You got to think collateral, big picture. If the bonds are no good, what next? Oh, a mad dash for collateral. Remember when you used to have to put down a down payment on a car? Collateral. Remember when you had to put 20% down on a house? Collateral. 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 Nobody is going to trust the collateral. And so the dollar price of gold to me is immaterial. Do you have collateral? Do you have wealth? In gold's case, you have portable collateral. Real estate, obviously, is not portable. Artwork is portable. Diamonds are portable. You know, you can trade those. You can put them up as collateral. That's what the deal is going to be. To me, it's crystal clear, and I am just a reporter, but to me, when you look at the big picture, why do they not want Greece to go down? The bonds. Why? Christine Lagarde was a head of a law firm that did swaps. Why does she not want interest rates to go up? Why does she want people to think that she's going to scold the Federal Reserve and not raising interest rates? They don't want the bonds to go down. That's the problem. When you leverage up something, hey, if all they had was a 2-to-1 leverage, they could take a 50% hit on their collateral, and they'd be in business. You can't take a 4% hit on the collateral with the leverage they have, and you have any collateral left. Your assets are outstripped by the debt and by the margin call. That's the problem. Problem is the collateral. So no, I just think people should be thinking collateral. What's the real thing? The banks don't want the paper. There's going to be a time when the banks, they don't want the paper now.
I understand. And when the time comes, they're going to want that physical collateral because it'll keep some semblance of value.
Correct.
All of the paper
like
collateral
the...
will be wiped out, and there's the problem.
The problem is not that
we wipe out the debt. You know, they say, oh, Greece is going to default. Oh, big deal. If there's really a problem with Greece defaulting on the loan, right, it wipes out the debt, the Greek debt. But the problem is that Greek debt has been, it's backed up by collateral debt instruments, and those collateral debt instruments can be used as collateral in the banks to make more loans. If those debt instruments turn out to be worthless because Greece can't pay its debts, there's probably going to be a multiplier effect under fractional reserve banking. If the Greek bonds have been used as collateral in the banks, they're holding them, using them, then they say, okay, we got a million euros here in Greek bonds, and we're going to lend out 10 million in imaginary euros to the people in Europe. If that bond turns out to be worthless, I believe they have to call in the 10 million that was based on the Greek
collateral. And if the Greek bonds are no good, and they've been holding them up with smoke and mirrors, and then are the Spanish bonds any good? Are the Italian bonds any good?
All of them. This whole thing is a giant Ponzi scheme.
That's the contagion. That's, you know, they can still print money, and they're going to do crazy confiscate. They're going to confiscate crazy amounts of wealth to keep this party going, and they're going to say it's for the the good of the society and the global community, and it's really just the good for the banks who should be tried on charges in their various countries for treason and fraud. And all the banks have admitted to rigging LIBOR and laundering money for drug cartels and laundering money for a terrorist and rigging the criminally rigging. Some of the big banks admitted to criminally rigging the currency market, which means they're also rigging the gold market, which means they're rigging the stock market. They've rigged the housing market. I mean, this is unparalleled fraud, not since the days of Noah. Corruption, not since the days of Noah.
Do you think
you know what happened after that, right? It got so bad that God said, I'm just going to wipe it all out. Get it, build a ship. Everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how, if you believe the Bible, which I do, you think about how bad this is. I mean, this is, people aren't catching the, forget the dollar amount. Don't go into the casino and try to get a card game going when, the ship is sinking. 2 hours of sinking. Great, we have enough time for a card game. I mean, you need to. I mean, this is an insurance policy.
Yes,
it's collateral.
What do you think is the cause of this corruption and fraud? Is it something like
greed?
Too many X-rated movies on television, or does
greed is out now? Greed.
Let me finish. Does it follow from the fiat currency? The bankers sit back and say, look, they knew we had fiat currency. They know it's a lie. They know it's BS, when the vast majority of the people have no idea, can't imagine it's all fraud. Does the fiat currency, did that encourage the people who understood the money system to say, look, it's all a racket? Would gold or silver have kept them honest where the fiat currency encouraged them to become criminal, fraudulent?
Well, yes, it would have been honest weights and honest measures, and it would have. We wouldn't have had near the growth. We can't have. You cannot have socialism with a gold standard.
Sure.
Please understand that. You have to be able to print money, and you have to be able to gain control by printing money and handing crap out until it blows up. And then when it blows up, then you have even more onerous control. But that's how you gain control. You gain control by printing money and handing out quote-unquote benefits. I mean, we started the war on poverty back in 64. We spent trillions of dollars, and we still have more poverty now than when we started. So it wasn't about poverty now, was it? It was about control.
Yeah, and it was a pretense
evil.
Of war. We had a war on drugs, too. How hard is it to find
That's
drugs?
That's also ridiculous. It's just
another war. It was like Vietnam and Iraq. We can't win the wars. I mean, what you can almost bet is that when we declare war on drugs, poverty, Iraq, whatever, they're going to win.
Well, here's the problem with war. And we didn't fight. When you had to fight a war, then you have to fight a war like we fought in World War II. And this is going to sound rough, but if you're going to win, then you bomb everything. Then everybody in your country is a target. We certainly are a target to Al-Qaeda and to ISIS and to China or Russia or whoever are potential. They're not going to be worried about whether we kill a few million civilians when they nuke us. They don't care. And that's how, we are playing in a world where, there is so much going on behind the scenes, and I didn't want to get into all the stuff I can't really say, but there's so much going on behind the scenes that, the only thing you can do is at this point, because it cannot be fixed, and it won't be fixed until everybody's awake, and unfortunately, a lot of people will never wake up. They'll be dead first.
Yeah.
You cannot fix this.
You had one of your guests were Greg Marinaro, and his point was financial analyst Greg Marinaro says time is short for the next financial calamity. Marinaro contends not only are things getting close, but we are here now. This is it. The collapse is now. He's not talking about something happening maybe next fall. He seems to imply that we're right on the front edge. A collapse has already begun for those that are shrewd enough to perceive it. Do you agree with that?
Yes, because look at the amount of part-time jobs. Your world is already collapsing. It's sort of 80 or 90%, probably 90, closer to 90%, most, the lion's share, the overwhelming share of jobs, new jobs created just in the last few years, particularly since Obamacare. I don't mean to sound partisan, but he started this 29-hour-a-week, cutoff point. Okay, he started it, so I'm sorry. The Republicans are a bunch of weasels with their secret trade, proposals too. Two things I want to get in real quick. You're already in a calamity, a crash right now when you're loaning countries to pay the banks that will implode if they're not paid. A, B, the stories that are just as important that you don't hear about. Texas pulling $1 billion of gold from the New York Fed and making it non-confiscatable and filling their own vault. Why isn't Fox News all over that? Why don't they have the governor of Texas talking about that?
Huge. We just talked about it yesterday on this radio program, and it strikes me as the biggest story that I've ever had an opportunity to talk about because the implications. We have a State of the Union that's ultimately trying to reestablish gold and silver currency as money. This is huge. This got Saddam Hussein killed. It got Gaddafi killed. It may have even caused Kennedy to die.
But why?
And now Greg Abbott down here, governor of Texas, and the Texas legislature said, "Yeah, we're going to take a shot at it. We're going to have our own gold." Oh, this is a story. This is a big
bigger
one.
Story.
We'll have to talk about that though another time, Greg. We are down to our last 15, 20 seconds. So quickly, who's your next guest?
My next guest, John Embry from Sprott Asset Management. The biggest story about the Texas is how it's not a story in the mainstream press. That's the biggest story.
I agree. Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.